Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Midtown Business Radio.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Midtown Business Radio. Stone, you know, we just got back from San Francisco, getting to enjoy all that is San Francisco. What was your favorite part?
I love the coffee. I thought we got a great deal of exercise. I enjoyed the variety of food. I think San Francisco has really great Italian, really great Chinese, really great seafood, and I probably gained 15 pounds while I was there, but maybe not because of walking up and down all the hills.
That's right. It's you get the kind of the best of all worlds, I think, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And we were there for Oracle Open World. It's Oracle's largest event that they do each year, and our client was Oracle Application Users Group. And we were on the floor there, and we got to interview just dozens of kind of probably the smartest people.
A lot of smart people. So, no, very senior-level execs with Oracle, but also all these organizations that that feed into and support that entire ecosystem. To me, that was just – that was fascinating. Learned a lot. And we traveled there with my daughter, so that was
fun. That's a bonus for you.
Absolutely.
And I think that going on those – going and doing remotes around the country is – it's kind of fun.
It is fun, but I don't. We're getting a little long in the tooth for that. We're going to have to hire some younger.
Young guy to do it.
But do one or two a year, maybe the Oracle one, and we got. We were kind of on the fringe of the big boat race too.
That's right, America's Cup.
So that was a blast, but this is going to be fun too. We have a studio full here on Midtown Business Radio this morning. A little bit later in the program, we have a repeat guest in Miss Janet Young. We have Jeremy. I forgot to ask: is Bowen or Bowen?
Bowen.
All right.
Bowen.
All right. We're going to visit with him from Una Shippers. But first up on Midtown Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from Kilpatrick Advisors, Mr. Steve Kilpatrick. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, appreciate delighted it. To do it. We've been trying to put this conversation together for a while, right? Like when we first moved in, we met each other out in the lobby. Steve's right here in our own space down here at Atlantic Station, and we finally got calendars together. You're a busy guy.
Well, I can be. I just wanted to make sure my mom and dad were at home in time to listen to this. So they will be listening and checking my grammar all morning.
It's a lot of pressure on you.
Shout out to mom and dad. We're glad that you're listening in. So busy doing what, Steve?
Well, I'm a certified financial planner. I used to be a certified public accountant. I've been in the business for about 20 years. I think the best way to describe what I do is I've discovered over 20 years in the business that basically people want to make sure that they can live the way that they want to live for the rest of their lives. Greatest fear is running out of money. And that's a lot of what I deal with. Is I'm a data collector. I mean, that's really what I do, is I collect data. I collect tax returns, investment portfolios. And what I do is I help to map out people's future for their families. And
that's a lot of pressure, don't you think? That seems to me like a very high-pressure job because people are they're funny about their money, Lee.
That's right. Now, do people actually run out of money? Like they just one day they wake up and they're like, wow, I don't have any
so
money.
Gone.
Does that really happen in real life?
Well, let me just preface this by saying I have not had an original thought in years. So if there's any statistic I give you, please Google it. Check it out. I have a Wall Street Journal right here in front of me. But, the statistics show that half of retirees live solely on Social Security.
So then they never run out of money. They get another check every month.
Yes, they do. It's just not a very big check. Now, the second statistic is about people who are working. And this is out of the Wall Street Journal. This is from Tuesday, March 19th of this year. On the front page, it says workers are saving too little to retire. It says that 57% of U.S. workers surveyed reported less than $25,000 in total household savings and investments, excluding their homes, according to a research report by the Employee Benefit Research Institute. So 49% have reported having so little money in 2008, and now the numbers haven't gotten
so
much better.
So the pile of money they have to live off of for the rest of their life is like 25 grand. That's what you just said?
That's it.
And then how long typically can someone live off 25 grand?
About a year.
A year.
In retirement.
Mm-hmm. So now when that year's up, them what's usually the plan? They just live off of Social Security?
A majority of Americans live off a very small amount. I mean, that's a, you know, that's a very good question.
Boy, this has been a very inspiring conversation.
I know. Yeah, really.
Thanks so much for coming to cheer us up.
Here's the good news.
There's good news.
The good news is the people that save, you know, a lot of the work I do is finding out whether the people that I talk with are savers or spenders.
Like personality type? That's a person. You can divide
really
people into those kind of buckets?
It's almost a sport. I've found that savers, they really enjoy it. I mean, you know, from clipping coupons to checking their bank account.
So they take pride in their ability to save.
Tremendous amount of pride.
And then the spenders, the opposite. So they don't even care. It's not even on their radar. They're just spending money like it's never going to stop coming in.
A lot of people do. A lot of people do. So I don't mean to be a fearmonger. You know, the good news is the people that save have wonderful retirement. You know, we have a standard living here in the United States that's just phenomenal. And one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, even though we watch on the news, there's a crisis every day, that the growth, not only here in the United States, but around the world in standard living has just been phenomenal. It's been absolutely phenomenal.
So if you save properly, then you can have a nice retirement.
You can have a nice living. You can live the way that you want to live and not have to ask your kids for money.
So people are asking their kids for money now?
All the time.
All the time. Wow.
I see a lot of nodding heads here. Yeah.
So I like this idea of saving, but I'm thinking now particularly maybe there's more and more wisdom in also just building some sort of little money machine that kicks off money after you're done going to work every day.
Is that possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if it's a yogurt stand or a radio studio or a consulting practice, but that, I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in just having some little money machine just to kick off, even if it was a couple thousand a month, right?
Right. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with working past retirement. You know, the ultimate retirement is 6 feet under in a box.
Yes, everyone will experience that.
You know, I know a lot of people that have saved up enough for retirement, and what they do now is they do what they want to do, whether it pays or not.
Right.
But, you know, my parents are a great example. They keep very busy, very, very busy, but they volunteer. Some people
right.
have
it's
that
on
choice.
Their terms.
It's on their terms.
Right.
Exactly.
So how did you get in this line of work? Did you find yourself broke or did you find yourself where you're – my grandfather used to say he was such an optimistic guy and he just – he was a saver.
Yeah.
He had like a civil service job, but he would call and he would say, Pete – he called all the guys in the family Pete. But he would say, Pete, my money's just stacking up on me. Is that did you find yourself with a bunch of money and you wanted to help other people? Or what compelled you to get into this arena?
I went through one 70-hour tax season when I was an accountant.
Oh,
wow. that was like, I don't want to do this again.
That was it. I had a friend up here. I was in Tallahassee at the time, and I had a friend up here who was a, you know, traditional stockbroker, and he said, you're going to work those kind of hours, come up here and make a better living.
Make some real money, right.
Yeah. So I did. You know, I took the jump, and it went really well, you know.
So you always had your own consultancy?
No, I worked for Prudential Securities, and then I worked for another firm, Robert Baird & Company, and then after September 11th, they closed the office, and then I went independent.
Uh-huh. So, and then, so what was that experience like for you when you didn't have, you know, a whole team around you?
When a firm closes your branch 3 months after September 11th, makes you think. It makes you think.
So social and political trends, how is that impacting financial planning? Is that having a major impact on your conversations? Or does that not, that's just background noise and you can't let that impact your core discipline?
Stone, that's a great question.
That was a fantastic question.
It's a fantastic question of the day.
That is a question.
One to nothing.
I'm going to quote Paul Harvey since I haven't had an original thought. And what he said more than one time was, in times like these, it's important to remember there have always been times like these.
That's great.
You know, I look at a chart that shows every year the crisis that is, you know, out in the news.
Right.
And I have it here with me. And it's from, you know, it's just from American Funds. It's a promotional piece, and I'm not recommending them. But I do like their literature. And, you know, there's always a reason not to save. There's always a reason not to have balance in what you save. Every year is different, but every year is new. You know, there hasn't been a Pearl Harbor recently. You know, the biggest problem we had last year was Greece. And when Greece is your biggest problem of the year, you're doing pretty well. You know, what has been just absolutely amazing is, I think the single most astonishing thing has been the sheer magnitude and volume of economic progress that we've seen.
So that sounds very bullish.
Yeah. I mean, the world doesn't seem to, you know, it doesn't seem to end, although from time to time it gives every indication that it's going to.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think a lot of people get hypnotized by the media, just kind of this doom and gloom, and around the corner there's, you know, Armageddon. But guess what? The sun shows up the next day and people go to work and they go out to eat, yeah, and life goes on.
Lee, I'm going to quote an independent analyst called Nick Murray. He's been in the business 46 years. Mm-hmm. And he said that the iPhone 5 that we have right now is 1,000,000 times smaller, was 1,000,000 times cheaper, and is 1,000 times more powerful than the gigantic IBM mainframe computer that powered E.F. Hutton when he started in the company.
Right.
46 years
and
ago.
Everyone was listening to him. Are you old enough to remember that commercial?
Yeah.
When E.F. Hutton talks,
people listen.
People listen.
So where is E.F. Hutton still around?
I don't know.
Or did we stop listening to
him? Well, I haven't heard him lately. So I got to dive into this. The sales and marketing aspect of your business must be a real challenge, because we're talking about people's money, and let's face it, it's a competitive space, right? How does the sales and marketing end of your business work?
Social media is really big now. It really is.
Really?
We're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter. We have our own website, and we keep it up to date. It's very, very important, because our main business comes from referrals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And those referrals want to find out information much, much quicker than they ever found out before.
But what's a typical type of information they ask you on social media?
They want to know how long we've been around. They want to know what we specialize in.
So they want to know about your firm and like what you're about, mm-hmm, right? Like kind of the real you, because to the consumer who doesn't know, they all kind of sound similar, right?
Right. And people want to know what you can bring to them.
Right.
You know, is it worth their money and time for them to work with a financial planner, a certified financial planner,
right,
versus to go at their own on Scottrade or E-Trade?
Oh, right, because you're competing against that little baby, right, with the with the phone.
And he is cool. He's,
yeah. And he can talk.
You know, it's tough. I mean, that's a very good comparison.
Now, aren't you constrained a little bit, too, in what you can say on platforms like social media or even like on today's show? We can't get into specific recommendations and all that. You could get into all kinds of hot water. You could just say, like, buy low, sell high. That's right. You're probably not in trouble if you say that. But we can't start asking you, like, what do you think about Coca-Cola? I mean, that you're kind of confined in what you can and will say to people until you really have a relationship, right?
Well, I can tell you what I think about Coca-Cola.
Oh, you can?
I love the company, but I have absolutely no idea what the stock is going to do.
Right.
You can say that about any company.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't recommend individual stocks. And, you know, I have very strong opinions on that. I'm competing, whether I'm an individual or whether I'm an advisor here. When I'm looking at any individual stock, I am competing against huge institutions,
yeah,
right,
mutual funds and pensions.
With
that
all kinds of, yeah.
40 CFAs behind each manager. And these guys are going and auditing companies on a minute's notice, showing up at their doorstep saying,
right,
we want to see the books of your company. I can't compete against those people.
Right.
What I can do is, I can piggyback with them. Mm-hmm. I can work with those managers, and that's what a lot of my clients do.
So now, what's a big misconception that a new client has when they work with a financial planner?
The big misconception is, I think that the four words, the four most dangerous words in our business are, as John Templeton once said, "It's different this time." Mm-hmm. People come in because they're scared a lot of times.
Is that like is that why they make a change? Like something bad just happened?
Yes.
And then so they're like, look, my other guy, he didn't know what he was. I lost all this money, so now fix this.
Right. Or I went with the baby on E-Trade.
And I don't, it's too hard now.
But there is this emotional, psychological phenomenon. People do left unguided. Just left to their own devices, the vast majority of people will buy high and sell low. Will they not?
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
it's the darndest thing to me. I don't get that.
And they shouldn't feel bad. I mean, nobody can beat the pros. That's something that I've learned in 20 years. You just cannot beat the
pros.
But
can't they wait for a better pitch? Why do they have to buy high and sell low? Is it because they don't know what high and low is?
It doesn't have a lot of sizzle to it. I know the pitch does not have a lot of sizzle to it.
But they don't ring a bell when it's high and ring another bell when it's low.
Absolutely. They just don't do it. That's why it's important to what I call dollar cost average. Mm-hmm. You invest when you get the money. You pull the money out of your savings. And by savings, I mean not only large company equities and large companies. I mean real estate. I mean a balanced portfolio, some cash, some fixed income. You pull that money out when you need it. You save as soon as you get it. And you do it consistently as opposed to lump sums, you know, because that's...
So it's just being disciplined and methodical, and over time you're going to win.
Exactly. It's patience. It's perspective.
Right. It's not like go all in because, you know, the new iPhone's coming out and Apple's going to go up for sure.
Yeah, we've been in a five-year cycle, Lee, where people have been in a panic scenario, no matter whether it's real estate or,
right.
or it's stocks,
it's
bonds,
bubbles.
Anything.
Everybody loves bubbles. They're bursting everywhere.
All the time. And, you know, the good and the bad to it is there always have been bubbles.
Right. People make money no matter what the economy's doing. There's
correct.
Somebody making money.
If they're disciplined.
Right.
That's right. If they're savers. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, I have my own opinions about people on TV and radio that give their opinions on investing. I think that if you're licensed to give investment advice, that you should give investment advice. We really need more financial planners out there. We need more professionals.
So you think to educate that you think the layperson just isn't educated, that that's a gap?
They're busy doing their jobs.
Right.
Absolutely. They're busy doing whatever they do for a living on a full-time basis.
Right, and this is all you think about 24/7. So why not trust somebody that this is all they think about 24/7?
Other than being a father and a son? Yes.
But there is a clear distinction. Let's make no mistake about it, or at least I want to check this assumption. There's a clear distinction between certified financial planner and person sells insurance who's also pretty good with money and helped out my Uncle Bob.
Right, or somebody that is giving investment advice
without that designation.
Without any designation, right.
Yeah, all right, so I want to get some real-world counsel on the parenting side of things. I have two lovely girls. They're wonderful in so many ways. One, the money burns a hole in her pocket. The other one's got the first dollar she ever touched. Any counsel that you would offer in trying to create an environment that would foster your children being good or at least better than you were with money at that age?
That's a really good question.
That's
as
two
well,
zero.
You know.
That's 2-0.
You guys are
yes.
are all batting 1,000. I think you just said it. You know, start speaking to your kids while they're still kids.
Yeah.
My parents talked to me about the value of money. They opened a savings account for me when I was a very small child. And they showed me, you know, through just an allowance – what the value of money is, mm-hmm. what the value of saving is.
So it's important for your kid to kind of earn money so they see it's hard. You can't keep giving them money. That's
right.
It doesn't help, right?
Right.
Remember, your mom and dad are listening. You sure you want to go there?
Yes.
Right. So they got to earn so they know what, look, that bike cost me X number of hours of work.
Right.
So not just, hey, mom, can I have a bike?
Interesting.
Right.
Right, I had an allowance, and I was responsible for buying my own Christmas presents.
For yourself or for the other people?
Well, yeah. Another good question.
So best opportunities going forward or best disciplines that we should all exercise? Obviously, one answer is come have a conversation with you and start thinking some of this stuff through. But what are some things that all of us should be doing and opportunities we ought to be looking at in general or disciplines we ought to be practicing?
Greatest concerns for most people, their health, their money.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, right. There are other issues in people's lives, their families, their faith. But the two greatest concerns I hear are
well, the healthcare, that'll just come up and bite it. That'll take all your net worth in a heartbeat, won't it?
Yeah. How about those Braves?
But I'm sure there's ways to, you know, kind of mitigate some of that.
Absolutely. For our health, get a good doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Get several good doctors. You know, I have a board of directors that I work with that specialize in different areas. I have a great doctor. I have.
That's for you personally or this for your clients?
This is for me, and this is what I talk to clients about, too.
Uh-huh.
I don't just talk to them about their money. I talk to them about their lives. And as far as finances come, get a professional. a certified financial planner has to meet certain criteria. They have to get continuing education every year. I have to get 40 hours, I believe it is, a year of continuing education. I had to pass a darn hard exam. Mm-hmm. I passed the certified CPA exam, which isn't that easy either. But you get a specialist when it comes to your taxes. Work with a CPA. Work with a CFP. You know, somebody that's licensed and has been in the business for a while for your finances. And in other areas of your life, you know, get somebody that's a specialist.
So now, do you have a specialty that you work, type of client that you work with more than others?
I work with savers.
Savers?
Really, that's who I work with, Lee.
So you not a, like you don't just work with doctors or lawyers, like you work with anybody that has a saver personality?
I work with families and small business owners primarily.
Mm-hmm.
But really the first conversation that we have when we sit down is, you know, what kind of a fit we are to each other.
Right.
And it's hard for me to train a saver. I've right. learned that over time.
So it's hard to take a spender and make them a saver.
It's tough.
So you probably don't work with a lot of pro athletes.
No, I don't. Not anymore. But God bless them. But, you know, they have a lot of pro athletes.
They have a lot of needs.
Now.
They have a lot of money. But don't they go bankrupt more than people think?
Most of them do. Most of them do. Because right. They get a large sum of money. Most pro athletes have not had a lot of financial planning. You know, I have worked with families of pro athletes before, and it's tough. It's really tough. You get that much money in that short a period of time.
Right. And you think it's going to last forever.
You think it's going to last forever. Yeah. And it doesn't.
So slow and steady wins this race.
It does.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team about this stuff?
Well, our website is KilpatrickAdvisors.com, KilpatrickAdvisors, or you could just Google Steve Kilpatrick, Atlanta. Our phone number is 404-889-8000, and you can just ask for me. We're also on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn.
Right, and right down the hall from Atlantic Station Business Radio X Studios.
Right here in Atlantic Station, yes.
Well, thanks so much for hanging with us, man.
Thank you very much, Stone. Lee, appreciate you having me on.
Hey, stay with us while we visit with our next guest,
sure.
will you? All right, next up on Midtown Business Radio, we have with us from Unishippers, Mr. Jeremy Bowman. Bowen.
Man.
That's I know. Right. What is it with the names this morning? Bowen, right?
That's correct.
All right. Welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate it.
So Unishippers, that means you ship only one thing? What's that about?
No, it means one company to ship everything.
There we go.
Lay it on us. Okay, so one company ships everything. What's the distinction between you and some of these other folks out there shipping stuff?
Well, first and foremost, we're a third-party logistics company, so a 3PL, which some people may be familiar with. What really differentiates us is, number one, the way that we approach our clients. Everything to us, I think if I walked in a room full of people that shipped every single day and said, okay, who's got the everyday shipment, the one that's going to be the same thing and, you know, just the every normal shipment, nobody's going to raise their hand. Everybody's got a specific need, and they think that their shipping is specific and special. And so that's what we do is we build around the customer's needs. And I would say our job is to help our clients make smart business decisions.
So now are your clients like the person who sells stuff through eBay, or are they like a manufacturer that, you know, makes – you know, widgets, like what's a client
yes.
typically? It could be anybody?
The rule of thumb is we're partnered with UPS on the small parcel side, and mm-hmm. we also do freight with 36 larger carriers across the country. And through those partnerships, we kind of know where our niche is. Mm-hmm. And our niche is going to be the small to medium-sized business. And when I say that, on the UPS side, it'll be somebody who does $200,000 or less in shipping a year, small parcel or overnight shipments.
Right.
When it comes to freight, you could have somebody who's doing, you know, 2 to 3 million in freight shipments a year. So it just depends on that. But it's really more the small, medium-sized business. That's where we can provide the best benefit. The way that they can kind of really get the biggest benefit from us is a small business may not have the volume to be able to get the best pricing from the customer or to get the attention of the freight companies.
So you become my freight personal advisor.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly right.
So now I got an exercise bike shipped to me from New York.
That's right.
So now it came on a pallet and it was wrapped but it came to my home. Would the, like your company, what aspect of that would you have handled?
Would
for
you
that
have firm? Helped him take it down the basement stairs? Because that's what I did, Jeremy.
Right.
Actually, yes, I do have a carrier that they have what they call a white glove service, and they will deliver it inside as long as you're willing to pay for it.
Right. So now, say you're this refurbished fitness company, and you ship, you know, you take in equipment, and now you got to ship it out. But this is weird equipment. Like, it's not stuff that fits easily in a box. Like, it's kind of...
That's every day.
Right? Every day. So now, this company has the equipment. They would call you. You wrap it up, put it on the pallet, or, like, what's your level of service?
Generally, our level of service is not going to be hands-on with the freight. It's going to be hands-on with the customer. So the customer knows their product. They know how they need to package it. They put it on the pallets. They know what size box they need to put their UPS stuff in. And they go through our service we actually have an online technology that they can go through and use the web interface to build their own shipments, get quotes on those shipments, and then turn it into an actual bill of lading, call up the carriers. So they wrap it,
they get it all going, they put the address label on, they call you, it now goes in one of your trucks, and then it lands in my house.
And actually, it doesn't even go in one of our trucks. Unishippers doesn't have their own trucks. We deal with the 36 major carriers. So AAA, Cooper, Southeastern are prevalent in this area.
But once it gets to you, it's no longer my problem, right?
That's the idea.
It's your problem now. And you're working with this trucking company.
Right.
So if it's delayed, now I'm calling you.
Well, and generally the idea is that they don't even have to call us unless there's an issue. So they put in their own shipments. They put in the dimensions, the weight, and all the information on the shipment. They get the bill of lading. They call the carrier and say, hey, it'll be ready at 3 o'clock this afternoon. The carrier comes and gets it. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that we do is, number one, we help them decide what's the best way to get it from point A to point B. So we take our 36 carriers and, you know, like I said, in this area, AAA, Cooper, Southeastern, they run the Southeast lanes really well. But if you got something going to California, you don't want to put it on one of those. Another carrier is going to be better for that.
And you have relationships with all of them. Have to have relationships with all of them. I just have to have relationships with you.
That's exactly right. Now, when something does go wrong, and in the freight business, something eventually will go wrong. We cross our fingers that it won't, but I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. Murphy was a freight shipper, I promise. But when it comes down to it, when you have an issue, if you're dealing directly with that freight carrier, well, the freight carrier's interest in the freight carrier, whereas our interest is in the customer.
Right.
And making sure that we serve our customer as a partner. We also serve the freight companies because they're our partners as well. But we try to come to the best solution that's fair for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want something. In fact, you know, we had an issue the other day where something came in and the freight carrier wanted to pay out 10 cents on the pound.
Right.
And the customer's going, well, that's a $10,000 piece of equipment.
Right.
That's demolished. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what happened. It must have fallen off the truck or something. But I saw the pictures and it was horrible. You know, and our estimations, we went in there and we said, okay, well, you're asking for retail value from the customer here. And, you know, of course, they wanted to pay per pound on the other side. But we tried to find that happy medium where we were able to get something where the freight carrier didn't have to really take a beating on it on something that wasn't that valuable, but they had to come up with a decent price. And, you know, obviously, then the customer didn't get a retail price for that. Now, we have a new solution. I'm glad you brought that up because we do have a new solution. Because of our relationship with UPS, is they have a new product for us. It's UPS Capital Insurance. And that's the insurance you'd buy whenever you ship something UPS. You know, it's like, 50, 60 cents per pound after or per dollar after that. But you can actually get full retail value insurance on your shipments through our freight carriers. And you can't buy that on any – I mean, nobody else has access to that. We're the only company that can do that, where we can provide UPS actual insurance, not a 10 cents per pound or 25 cents per pound on your shipment. And the customers actually do get full retail value on that, and the claims get paid out 90% of the time within 10 days, which is a big difference because a freight claim can go out. I heard a horror story the other day about 8 or 9 months.
Wow. Now – when I'm working with you, am I going to get a better rate than if I just called the freight company directly?
As long as you're in that small to medium business range. That's why that's our niche, is really because when you're a large business, you have a full freight department. You probably have one guy that handles negotiating your contract. Well, we negotiate the national contract and then pass those rates down to the small to medium-sized customers. So they get, you know, we do, what, I think it's $500 million a year. So just in freight shipping. And so when you're talking about 500 million shipments, I mean, we've got a lot of volume rolling across the U.S. And then when it comes back, you know, we get some pretty good rates on that. And so our customers really take advantage of that.
Now, Unishippers is a franchise, right?
That's correct.
What can you share a little bit about what that thought process was for you to be a franchisee? Were you choosing amongst other shippers? Like, what kind of businesses were you looking at?
Bowen Shipping. Wouldn't you get to keep more of the money?
Yeah, or like Subway and Shipping.
Been there, done that. I actually owned my own business before, and so
It
was not, and I owned it outright and started it from scratch.
So it was Jeremy's business. Yeah. What'd you guys do?
It was Varsity Promotions, and I did marketing events and promotional products for 16 major colleges across the four-state area. We also had grew into a huge 4-H project and elementary school project for Georgia, and sold that a few years ago, I guess about 4 years ago.
So you sold it, so you're unemployed now.
Yeah, and so I was unemployed happily.
Do you have any retirement problems that maybe Steve can help?
Actually, I think I fit kind of in his mold. I'm an adamant saver, you know, when it comes down to that. My wife doesn't understand that. But I told her, I said, I was kind of forced into it. When I first started my first business, the first 6 months, she thinks I'm kidding when I say this, but I ate egg sandwiches every day for 6 months. And you could only eat twice a day because bread and eggs, they add up
right,
after a while.
Exactly.
But I was kind of forced into that saver experience. Well, this time I was going back and I said, you know, I worked for the federal government. I worked for the Department of Defense for 3 years and 2 days. And at that point I said, okay, well, 3 years and 2 days is about 2 days too long.
So <It's enough. laughs>
I worked for the smallest business in the world when I started my first company. Right. I worked for the largest in the world, and I wanted to find the happy medium. And that's why it wasn't that I was looking for Unishippers. It wasn't that I was looking to get in the shipping industry. I have worked for Unishippers kind of helping out my brother. He had the franchise for a little while. And I was kind of doing that while I was unemployed in the interim. And I enjoyed doing it. I was doing nothing but UPS sales at that point. And then when I went to the Department of Defense, when I came back, I knew the value of the company. But the best thing was is I had a corporate office out in Salt Lake City that runs all of the things that a huge company would handle as far as your freight contracts,
Messy parts.
That's right. All the things that are, you know,
where stuff can go wrong.
All the things a small business owner hates, you know, all the day-to-day stuff that keeps you from actually getting work done.
Right.
And then we have 300 smaller offices, franchise offices, that actually go out and deal with the business. And that's what I really miss being in Department of Defense doing procurement is that when I was there, it was at best a telephone call to the customer or to the vendor.
Right, you probably get to know your customers pretty well.
That's right. That's the first thing I do. When I set up an appointment, I go, hey, I want to set up an appointment, and I want to come in, and let's walk through your business, and I want to learn more about your business so that maybe we can find out, number one, is it going to be a right fit for you to work with us? But number two is, you know, where can we benefit you and show you the best way to do this throughout your business? And I mean, the fact that it's a shipping business is wonderful because I don't think there's anything that I don't know very few people that buy direct from manufacturer and only have to ship it once.
Right.
In fact, look around you. I bet this chair probably went to a warehouse. It probably went to a distributor after that, and then maybe went to a store, and then y'all bought it and had to get it delivered here. So I mean, when you look at it, everything in our lives as Americans, if you look around, everything got shipped at least 2-3 times. And so it's just kind of, it's a way of life that but we don't really notice it as much.
Right. It's kind of invisible to the consumer.
That's right. That's right.
So I asked Steve Kilpatrick this in the last segment. I'll ask you, you said that you were in the UPS sales thing. How's the sales and marketing side of your thing work? You knocking on doors, they calling you. How's that working?
Yes.
They're just knocking the door down, right? Please, please, Jeremy, ship my thing.
Well, because of the way that we do business and get to know our clients and really get on that one-on-one basis to where they knew who we are, and they're usually, I would say 90% of my 90 to 95% of my clients are in the local area. it offers me an opportunity to actually physically go out and see them. But if
I'm sitting, local big relationships, key
that's
to
right.
this thing.
That's right. And so yes, I will call. I'll get a list from, you know, we have list generators and things like that.
That Unishippers, the franchisor, provides for you?
Oh, no. Oh, no. They will provide some leads from time to time, but I like to have, I like to go out and get my own.
You need
own.
The fresh Glengarry leads.
That's right. Well, here's the thing is I can go out there and tell you about, I can go tell you a list of, you know, people that I know ship. It's the people that don't, that you don't know that are the most interesting. Give you a good
so they're
example.
Hiding in plain sight?
That's right. Well, I went into a warehouse the other day, and I saw there's trucks sitting out there. There's a bay door out back, and there's a bunch of delivery trucks sitting out there. And I said, there's no sign. And I just walked in the door, and I said, hey, you know, what are y'all doing here? He gave me a referral. The guy next door is, like, retreading airplane tires. And I had two thoughts when I walked in there and started talking to him. And the first one was, man, that's pretty cool. It's a 747 nose tire right there. That thing's huge. And the second one goes, they retread airline tires?
Right here?
I just landed on a plane the other day. I wonder if it had retreads on it. So it's never a dull day in this business. But, yes, we like to go down the phone list. And then I'll tell you, once we find people, good leads to go see in person, right. I get the best leads from the guy next door. Because while you're out there, you're in that area, and you get to see what types of businesses are there, and you'll get referrals from the people that you went
so
to see.
So you really need to know the people who repair bay doors?
That's right.
Is that the thing? Because they right. know where every warehouse right. is in town, right?
We actually nice. have a company that makes drop-down, roll-up bay doors for, like, hangars in huge, huge buildings. So, yes,
they
it's very good to
know.
They know
where all your clients live, right?
That's right. That's right. So anybody they're shipping to, they're on my good list. So yes.
All right. Where can our listeners go to learn more?
Unishippers.com. And when they go to that, then they can put in their zip code, and it'll bring up one of the 300 offices.
We only want them to see Jeremy, right?
Well, but if they're in our area, then they'll get our office.
But do you have your own special, just Jeremy's Unishippers?
I do not have a specific website. Because 90% of what I do is going to be in person. It's going to be.
He's hyper local. He's serving our constituents.
I am, and it really allows me to be part of the community a lot more, and so I really think that's a huge benefit.
Right, building those local relationships.
That's right. And they can also call at 678-692-8891. That's our freight desk in our local office, and that's another benefit that we have of having that local office. You never get a touchstone system. Right. You're always going to get a person, and they're going to be
an
able to
actual
help
person.
You. Yeah.
And no extra charge for that?
No extra charge for that. And you're going to be able to get the same group of people every time, and they'll be able to help you from anything from a UPS pickup all the way through a billing issue, or if you have some specific need or a question about the shipping process, they're all trying to help you with everything. So it's a hyper-local business. We do have out-of-state and out-of-town clients, and that doesn't seem to be a real issue, but that's not really the model that
right.
we have.
All right, Jeremy Bowen with Unishippers. Thanks for coming down and visiting with us, man.
All right, I appreciate it.
Hang with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with. Actually, two more
guests. It's a twofer.
Exactly. So please join me for visiting with, again, this gal has been with us before.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Business Radio X microphone, Janet Young plus one. How you doing?
Thank you, Stone and Lee. I appreciate you letting me come back.
So what's been going on with you since we talked last?
Oh, just busy, busy, busy.
Well, I figured you wouldn't be busy with the government shutdown.
Yes. My name is Janet Young, and I do IRS tax problem resolution. I wanted to get you all some new information hot off the press. The government is shut down.
So that means we don't have to worry about taxes anymore?
Yeah, you would think. It's an interesting constitutional issue. If you owe money right now and you're in collections, they're going to take it with a levy or a wage corner.
That must be an essential department then.
Yes, it is. Collections is taking calls. If you are owed a refund, not coming or delayed.
So that's non-essential.
Non-essential.
Refunds are non-essential.
Collections are essentials.
Correct. And I figured that out yesterday, even before they told me. And then third, if you're in an IRS audit, that's the good news. They've stopped auditing all functions of auditor.
Okay, so that's non-essential. Correct. Interesting.
I like the sound of that. That's cool.
Yeah, there's the, I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, I guess, you know, Jeremy or Steve has people that he meets with money, and that's good. But I'm the flip side, far out, farthest away from Steve as you can be. I see people after Armageddon. And I have a client with me, and we can talk about his scenario, but it's always, you know, I acknowledge this recession has been pretty difficult on trucking, construction, real estate. And what happens is it's either in a health issue that causes tax problems, as with Robert here, or it's a financial problem. Those are the two causes for owing taxes.
And so why don't you introduce your guest?
Robert. Robert came to me, and I had been in a large law firm that did tax resolution. It was $350 an hour for the partner, $150 for me, and the bankruptcy attorney. So it was about $1,000 an hour. And Robert came to me, and I heard his story, and I had 100% closure rate at the law firm. If I saw you, came. Well, Robert slipped away on me. I kept calling Robert. Robert, where are you, Robert? Leaving messages. Robert, where are you? Finally, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 2 months later, his wife answered. He said he's waiting for a heart at St. Joe's. He's had a complete heart failure, and he's – you take it from there, Robert.
Well, basically, they told me I was going to die. But anyhow, as it turned out, I did get a heart, and everything's good now.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. He had already – he lived in Roswell, correct? Mm-hmm. And his house burned down. And
your house burned down, and you were told you were going to die.
Right. He's
that's worst day ever.
You are one resilient man.
He is.
Good
he
Lord.
Is. City of Roswell didn't come out, and they had a fire hydrant, and it didn't work, and he watched his whole house burn down, and that means records and all. So Robert didn't have records, and that kind of started him in the spiral, and then health issues further compounded ability to want, because as Steve says, if you lose your health, you've lost everything. So, sure.
And when you lose your records, you've lost
almost
the bottom line, because
right.
you can't prove all the
anything,
records you've
right?
had, right? Mm-hmm.
So, Robert came to me, and there's a nice basic principle in tax law. If you don't have any records, it's called the Cohen rule, and it's after the. It's after the producers in Hollywood. And it says, in the absence of books and records, you can make a reasonable estimate with the exception of meals and entertainment and travel. You can estimate. So if you know, I mean, I work with people from trucking, contractors, real estate agents. You know after a time, and I can estimate based on the gross revenue, because that's a bank deposit, that you can back into the expenses and provide a return. Because all the IRS wants are the returns. So in, you know, so you go back, I go back 7-8 years. I'm going back filing. A 97 isn't, you know, a big deal for me. So because the IRS wants to make you compliant. If you fail to acknowledge all the notices you get, and they step it up. Every notice is, first one's, hey, we haven't seen your tax return. Everyone's like, hey, we wrote you a letter, but you didn't really do anything. Hey, it's a gentle reminder. Well, then about 3 years out, it gets, hey, you know, we want you to call us. And the final one is intent to seize, and the final one is intend to seize. And once they say they're going to seize, you only have 10 days, and you're...
That's when they really... It's,
they go
the
in.
The timeline gets shorter and shorter.
Right. It gets more... But you get lulled to sleep. When my clients come to me, it's always interesting. They come with a box, a large box. And I go, you know what? I'm going to use the most resourceful thing in my office, and I get the garbage can. Because I only need to know what happened today. I can call the IRS, well, I could yesterday or the day before, and I get a transfer of your account. So I find out what they know, and I work with that. But, like, Robert, he was interesting. He came in. It took a long time because there's a lot of emotional and, I think, physical and emotional and thoughts that have to go through. You know, I don't walk into a room and everybody raises their hand, oh, I have tax problems.
Yeah, you know, people don't lead with that when they meet you, right?
Yeah, no, but you know what? If I say, hey, this is what I do, hey, I got to get your car. And you'll be surprised.
I got a friend.
I've got a friend. Yeah, and my friend might be calling
hypothetically,
you.
Hypothetically, if.
What happened? And so it's an interesting profession. My leads, I'm all referral-based. I am now like the CPAs to the CPAs because I am one of a few women in Atlanta that does tax resolution. And in the country, it's not a female profession. It's a lot of fighting because I work with you and I believe everything you say if you believe everything you say, you know?
Right.
But once I open it up, I know the truth, you know, as you probably do, Steve.
So do you work more with the truth or with what people say?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a little Catholic thing I do.
And what is that?
Bless me, Father, mm-hmm. for I've sinned. When was the last time you think you filed a tax return? And then I go, well, don't worry. You don't have to worry because I'll find out. But tell me what you think.
Just
and,
ballpark it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and I go, you know, I go, if I'll believe whatever you believe. That's the truth.
So that's the first move on your part until you go and check it out and then you know.
Exactly. I had a client that came in about a month ago. He told me he made $4,800 a month and he had debt back to Katrina and he lives in Pass Christian. And I felt so sorry. Like, that's the thing. You feel so sorry.
Right.
Well, I finally get in touch with the revenue officer because if you go over $50,000, the IRS will give you sort of a concierge, sort of a valet parker, and he's going to be in charge
of you.
It's
that white glove service.
Oh, definitely.
Jeremy was referring to earlier.
It's white glove at the revenue. And they come out to your house. They look it up. They talk to the nanny. I mean, it is fun. So anyway, he did his own work. Now this, I know Steve feels like people shouldn't be their own personal financial planner. Well, you shouldn't try to do tax resolution. So this gentleman.
Maybe there's an app for it. Is there?
I don't think there's an app for tax resolution yet. I don't believe there is.
And I've never seen a baby in a commercial talking about it.
No, there is. You know, that's the sad thing. I think it's a client tells me I think there's 700 hits on the word tax relief, like a year or something. Something ridiculous. Like, so, you know, nobody, you know, they do that, but there's so many unscrupulous people. I am a CPA, so I have a code of ethics. I also have a master's in tax, and I have a kind of an experience. I've worked with several people doing tax religion.
And you've been on the radio, for goodness sake, really? Talking about the topic.
And everybody.
You're in a whole different league.
Oh, I know. This is fabulous. And I just Googled you guys yesterday. This is a fabulous concept. I've got to say that. Fabulous concept. But anyway, I was going to say that this client did his own resolution. So he just chats it up with the revenue officer. He goes, my kids go to private school. I'm a member of the yacht club.
I got so many Rolexes, I don't know what to do with.
Okay, so she calls me back, and that's what she leads with. I go, oh, my God, why? And then there's a form you fill out to say how much you make.
And he says, like, 20 grand a year.
$16,000 a month. He tells me 48. So I had to write him an email yesterday. Hey, you know, we got to get our story straight. But, you know, that's the antagonism that I'm, you know, faced with. Because once you know, this has escalated. He, you know, didn't deal with it 5-6 years. But that's where I come in. The revenue officers are extremely angry. The clients are checked out. You know, they're just... they're gone. They are so immune to IRS notices, they don't open them. So they all come unopened, and you just open them. They're useless to me because, you know, a notice 5 years ago, very worthless information.
You're like the cleaner. You come in and fix this problem.
I am.
At least organize the problem.
Yeah, you know, well, it's not that hard. But the thing is, the three things you want to remember is if you don't pay, they're going to do a wage garnishment. And believe me, they know where we all work. We know where we all bank to do a levy. And they know if you have a house. So if you don't have any of those things, you're clear. Okay? If you're off the grid, you're okay. But if you've ever used a bank, you have a retirement account, they can go into your retirement account, they can seize your house. You know, that's very, very difficult. But I had one about 2 months ago. She was adamant about taking a house. And I was like, really? That's ridiculous. But I'm just saying, you think, a lot of clients say to me, I'm not going to tell you where I bank. See, because I like.
If I keep it a secret, yeah. No one will know.
I'm like, okay, that's another one. I'll believe what you believe. Well, a lot of clients, first thing I do if you owe money is want to put you on a voluntary installment agreement, preferably direct deposit, because if I do that, the heat is off. You're just moved off another level. They fell asleep. If they know, they're going to get a monthly sum, and I can do the lowest. I'll negotiate the lowest payment. I had a client that didn't believe me, and he wouldn't do an installment agreement direct deposit. He said, I'm not giving those, you know, blah, 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 you know, any money. Well, they came and they did they sweeped his bank account. They swept his kid's bank account because his Social Security number was on it. And so I'm like, okay, you ready to play games now? You ready? You're going to do it my way? But that's how it goes.
Ouch.
yeah. When they first come to me, I probably get about four or five calls a day. And that's what I'm there for. You know, you don't ever have to worry. When you got me, because you can throw away the notices. I'm getting the power of attorney. I'm going to get the notice. So you can throw them in the garbage. I'm getting them. I'll call you when I need to.
And all right. So is this consistent with your experience? This is the experience you had working with Janet?
Yes, she took all the pressure off of me, especially after the house fire when everything was destroyed.
And then you could focus on getting well.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that probably took a lot of stress off you.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I could put one foot in front of the other each day.
And then you felt like maybe now I'm getting control of the situation?
I felt that she was getting control for me.
Uh-huh.
That's where the pressure came off.
And then
because the average person doesn't know the steps to take. That's where each individual that are here, and myself owning a business, people need to come to you because you're the expert in that field. So mm-hmm. once I gave it to her, the pressure just released. She said, I'll handle it.
So now prior to that, though, you were probably in some sort of I can fix this myself. I'm a big boy. You know, I got in this mess. I can deal with this, and I'll take the steps.
Exactly.
And you were kind of kicking the can down the road, and it was probably creating a lot of stress in your personal life, and, you know, it was just kind of spiraling out of control.
Yes.
And then what made you just say, you know what, I got to delegate this to somebody who's better at this than I am?
To tell you the truth, I really don't remember.
Was there a moment?
It was probably my wife.
It was your wife, yes. That was like,
aren't they always the smart ones? Because they're willing to ask for help. Right? I'm talking about females. I say on almost every broadcast, they're smarter, they're more collaborative, and they're better with money.
Could be.
Yes, definitely.
And you know, the demographics, my clients, they're generally older men in their 50s that have had a lot of money. Like I've had a client who had $2 million, and somehow his CPA said, don't worry about not filing your tax return. And he bought a house for cash, and he bought some land in LJ. And, you know, I'll tell you, I see some work from CPAs that's just... I call it fiction and other things I've looked at.
So, rule of thumb, you should pay your taxes.
Yes.
That sounds like good advice.
If possible.
At least file them.
That's
minimum. At least file them and say, hey, I know I owe you a bunch of money.
Here's. Right. Now, if you don't file and you don't pay, your tax increase is 25%. That's failure to file, failure to pay. Now, as far as interest, they are the debtor of choice. I think it's 3% or 4%. But if you don't pay and you don't file, your tax grows within 6 months to 25% greater.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that's every year. So it's a failure to file, failure to pay, 25% maximum. So if you can't pay in October and you owe maybe $10,000, you want to file. I think that's a misnomer. You want to file.
Send something in by October 15th. Right. That's our last deadline, right?
Correct.
2015?
Right. And you can do a voluntary installment agreement on a form 9465. It's a form, and you can put how much you want to pay. I can't tell you if it'll work, but at least you tried.
That's right. This concludes the inspirational portion of our program.
And now for the solution. What's your website?
My website is IRS Tax Stress, but I'm going to be changing to Tax Relief Lady in October. You can email me at janet@irstaxstress.com. That's one word. If you want to get a flavor for who I am, you can go onto LinkedIn, and you can always call me at 404-216-8195.
All right. Now, Rob, do you still have your business?
Yes, I do. And I think one point that was made earlier in your show, you're so busy keeping employees and their families fed and yourself, and then you have these problems, and especially after 9/11. Everyone has had it harder than before. Right. And as everything spirals, you're trying to stay above water. And it seems like myself tried two or three different companies, and I ended up paying a lot of money and got no results. Mm-hmm. And it was just a blessing for me. I ran across Janet. I actually went to a larger firm, met her, and then after I went down with the heart, we got reunited about 6 months later, and she was out on her own, and it was the best move
Right, it probably, if you could have done it earlier, would have saved you some heartache, huh?
It was finding her.
Right.
It's the whole key to everybody that's here. It's finding the right person.
Right.
And for me, she was the right person.
Now, what's your company?
Designed Air Systems.
And you have a website?
We do heating and air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
No, it's always been referral.
Referral.
We've never had to advertise, so.
Good for you.
We've been very blessed.
I was going to send him an invoice for an on-air spot.
Look, you know, maybe next time.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Janet, for bringing Rob.
Thank you, too, for having me over.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. Thank you to all of our guests and Stone Payton as well. We will see you all next week on Midtown Business Review.